In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
All right, we're live. Lindsey Crosby, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it. We're getting going here. Thanks for joining me on this Tuesday afternoon here, man.
Thanks for having me, Reese. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. Are you located in Atlanta or outside of Atlanta in one of the many suburbs?
I am outside of Atlanta. It is about 90 minutes to the ballpark for me. So a lot of what I do is weekends, simply because of, you know, trying to get there after work doesn't always work out. But
sure, the game's always on. That Atlanta traffic is something different. You know, every city I've ever been to, they're like, we got the worst. And I'm like, it's either LA. I've never been to LA, so I can't experience it. But Atlanta, like growing up in the Southeast, going through Georgia all the time. Like I'm from Florida. So
yeah,
any baseball tournament or anything, like going up wherever, it's like going through Atlanta. I was like, what the fuck are we doing here, man? Like, how does anybody get to this game if you want to go to the game?
From what I've seen, the issue is like LA traffic doesn't really move. Atlanta traffic is always moving and incredibly fast. Everybody's driving out of hell.
That's what I'm saying. It's different. I'm like, this something's different here. Like, you guys are built different, but we'll go ahead and get right into it, man. Today we're talking, clearly we're talking Atlanta Braves. But at the beginning of the podcast here, go ahead and you know, drop your socials. I'm sure you got a podcast of some kind. Just let the people listening know where to find you, man.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball, and I actually do some baseball writing as well as a podcast. So bravestoday.com, some of our writing, and then the podcast, the Braves Today podcast. You can find it on YouTube. We are talking Braves all the time.
Nice. Go give them a follow. But I mean, this one I was excited for. It's always exciting to do an episode with a team that has so much potential going into the season. And also not just potential, but in recent memory, some of the most success in Major League Baseball here. You got a, you know, World Series. We're in the playoffs every year. You guys have some of the most young, exciting talent in the game of baseball. I can only speak so much about it. Give me a feel so far about how you guys are feeling going into the season, just generally.
So the fan base is kind of high on this season, because if you think about how last year went, obviously it didn't end the way you wanted, right? The postseason, you know, the 3-1 loss to Philly, two straight NLDSs, but it would have been really easy to just run it all back, right? You had rotation injuries. You lost Max Fried for most of the year. You lost Kyle Wright for most of the year. They had combined for like 60 starts in 22. And you still won over 100 games because Spencer Strider was amazing. And the offense was one of the more prolific run-scoring offenses in baseball history, right? They tied the 21 Twins for most homers in a season. And that Twins team got the juiced ball. So I think of Atlanta as the single-season home run champs, like I think of Hank Aaron as the all-time home run leader, because no juicing involved, right? And you could have just ran it back, but Alex Anthopoulos went into his bag and found ways to make this team better. He goes out, replaces Eddie Rosario and Kevin Pillar with Jared Kelnick and Adam Duvall. Upgrade defensively. The ceiling is higher on that pair compared to Rosario and Pillar. And then he does a bunch of work on the rotation. And so, you know, he goes out and gets Chris Sale and brings back a lot of other guys. So we feel really good about this year. Simply because you're running back the best parts, and then you improved the weaknesses, and you even improved that lineup, which was already amazing, right?
Right. Right. And I mean, it would be absolutely insane for you to not go into this season with expectations like that. I mean, every season, even if they're not absolutely stacked, for some reason, it's just, you know, the Braves. But the addition of Chris Sale, I think, is one of the biggest ones to that rotation. I feel like this is one of the, it's one of those things that when it, like, it sucks as a Red Sox fan, I guess, to see him go, but it's like, it's one of those seasons where it's like he gets traded, he shows up in Atlanta, and just, it's like he's back. Like, that's the feeling going into the season where it's like, we're going to see, you know, not prime Chris Sale, but we're going to, I got a feeling he's back this year. It's probably a refresh for him.
2019 Chris Sale. Yeah.
And it's like, the guy's an absolute competitor. One of my favorites to ever watch pitch, you know, tall, lanky, left-hander, just one of the most unique guys to see on the bump. But you surround him with a team with championship aspirations and also a phenomenal pitching staff. You know what I mean? Max Fried and Spencer Strider. I mean, you know, the Major League Baseball loves Spencer Strider. That's their quadzilla. That's their guy right now. But yeah, I mean, even the additions just from, you know, upper management there, it's like, clearly you guys have shown that you want to win and that you can win. So going into this season after a good season with even higher expectations, I can only imagine it's so exciting. But we'll just keep talking about the pitching staff here because that's my strong suit. I love pitching. I'm excited to watch Chris Sale. I'm excited to watch Spencer Strider, obviously. I mean, strikeout machines. But talk about the whole rotation in the bullpen in general, I guess, going in. And, you know, I feel like you guys are the favorites to win the NL East. And I'd say, obviously, once again, you guys are competing against the Philadelphia Phillies. But those are two good teams and two pretty good rotations there. But how are you feeling about the staff going into it?
I think a lot of it's going to come down to health. But I don't think the health's as big a concern as everybody's making it out to be, right? Because you think about Chris Sale, and you think about the last few years for Chris Sale and all of the issues that he's had. You're a Red Sox fan. You know that. But when you kind of go back and look at it,
I do want to point out that I'm not a Red Sox fan, but we can keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. It's there's a lot of fluky injuries in his history, and he's talked this offseason. It's the first time he's been back to fully healthy since that 2018-2019 time. He was throwing bullpens and long toss all winter when usually he's just rehabbing injuries. And Max Fried missed a lot of time last year. He had like 77 innings or something like that. But he's historically been a guy that, yes, he's gone on the IL a couple times with minor things, but he's usually made 27 to 30 starts. He's usually thrown 160 to 100 innings. He's been pretty reliable in his history. Last year, kind of that one exception, and now he's in a contract year. And so the weakness of this staff last year was when injuries bit, you didn't really have a ton of starters. Bryce Elder was your number three last year. He's now in AAA. Like he went from being an all-star and your number three pitcher to in AAA to start the year. You've got old man Morton back. You've got Chris Sale. You've got Max Fried. You've got Spencer Strider, who led the league in strikeouts and then added a curveball, like added a new pitch after leading the league in strikeouts. And everybody came into spring training looking great, fully healthy, ready to go. You signed Ronaldo Lopez, and then you've got some top prospects developing, Hurston Waldrop, AJ Smith-Shawver. The big weakness for this rotation last year was you didn't have, you had to go through all your depth options. You used 13 different true starters last year, right? But when you got to the postseason, you had run out of arms. Bryce Elder started game three and got shelled by Philly. This year, it looks like you're four or five deep on guys you would trust to start a postseason game. And then you've got some prospects that you feel really good about could be there by the end of the season. You address that. The bullpen, too, was something where Atlanta's average fastball velocity was in the bullpen was one of the lowest in all of baseball last year. And so they took out a lot of those soft tossers, your Kirby Yates, your Michael Tonkin, you know, a lot of those guys that just weren't throwing that hard, and replaced them with flamethrowers or with guys that had really, really good stuff. So your fastball velocity in the pen is higher. And that's the thing you saw against Philly. That's really what they had, was a flamethrowing bullpen that gave you issues. You've got four lefties for opening day in the pen. You've got a ton of velocity. You really added reinforcements in the bullpen and the pitching staff, like the rotation. And so I feel good about you'll have enough guys around when you get to the postseason.
For sure. And I mean, like, especially when it comes to the staff, like what you said, it's like the assumption of getting to the postseason is already, it's enough to be said there about how good it is and how good the team is. But I do think that's important is, you know, realizing what's going on once you get there. And it is another season. And it's like, sometimes guys just, you know, fall off. They don't have it. They get fatigued and ever or whatever. So going into that, I mean, it's exciting to think about. That's already the expectation that you guys have. It's like, okay, now we're bolstered up for the run in October. And I mean, to go off that, it's like even this team is, I mean, stacked offensively. I don't think anybody is denying that. But it's one of those things where you guys are so good that you still have a chance to win the division and make a run in the playoffs, even if some guys do go down with how good that offense is with, I mean, Acuna, Matt Olson, Austin Riley, and it just keeps going and going and going. But yeah, I mean, we'll go ahead and switch over to the offensive side here, but what you got going into this season? I mean, you can only be so pumped for it, you know?
Yeah, it's, you brought back everybody, right? I mean, you're of your top 11 mm-hmm. offensive players, 9 of them are back. And the two you lost, Eddie Rosario and Kevin Pillar. Again, you replaced them with Jared Kelnick, Adam Duvall. So you like the ceiling higher, you like the defense better. And the Braves feel like they're kind of in a unique place where you could lose one or two of those guys and you feel like this offense is still going to be one of the best offenses in baseball mm-hmm. because you have so much depth all the way through. They're number 9 here last year. Michael Harris II batted in the 290s. As the number 9 hitter in the lineup. And so, like, it's absurd. And you feel like when you swap catchers from Sean Murphy to Travis d'Arnaud, all-star in 23 for Murphy, all-star in 22 for d'Arnaud. If one mm-hmm. of them goes down, the other one can step up and play every day for a week, and you don't miss a beat. And that's really the strength of this team is no one player has to carry this offense. And you see that, like, I have questions about Los Angeles. If that top 3 of Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani aren't hitting, can they get enough offense from the rest of that lineup? Atlanta has so many guys. It feels like you're covered. And people forget, in 2021, you won the World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr. You lost mm-hmm. him mid-season and then made a couple trades for some outfielders. And had one of the best winning percentages from the trade deadline through the end of the postseason. And so that's the strength of this team, this offense, is you're not tied up money or production in any one dude. It's all spread around the entire lineup, top to bottom.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the most dynamic and evenly spread out offenses in all of baseball. It's like, there's two ways to go about it in my head where it's like, we did the Dodgers episode and you look at the names on there and it's like a video game lineup kind of thing. And then this also is a video game lineup type of thing where it's just like the dynamic offense and like throughout it just spread out where you're like, we can't really, I mean, you know, knock on wood for you guys, but it's like a foolproof setup going into the year here. But it's also one of those things just clubhouse wise, right? Like even for guys, let's say, I'm a Seattle guy, so I live out in Seattle. I've watched Kelenic come up. I've watched him struggle. I've watched him get frustrated. I've seen the potential. We've all seen it. The guy is a freak, a great athlete, a great swing. So I hope he succeeds there. But it might also help with a change of scenery, but also having a clubhouse and a roster of veterans that are putting up numbers consistently every year. And also with a core group of guys that have been to the playoffs every year for the last few years, won a World Series, and just being around that brings up other people. You know what I mean? So it's dynamic in every sense of the word, I guess, here. So, you know, currently, potentially, whatever it is. But, I mean, you couldn't be more excited, I guess. You know, just they're a fun team to watch. We just did a Rockies podcast, so this is kind of a
you know, baseball's fun to watch no matter what, but this is like a go out of your way to watch the team play. You know what I mean?
Definitely one of the teams you have to keep up with every single day. And like on the Kelenic note, when the trade happened, I remember going back and looking and seeing like, okay, yeah, he hit in every spot in the lineup last year. Like there was times he was the cleanup hitter for that Seattle team. And you look at Atlanta, they've already talked about, he's probably going to bat 8th or 9th. Like he's at the very bottom of the lineup. And when he bats 9th, he's going to get pitches to hit because the guy behind him is Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yep.
And just being in this sort of lineup, like nobody's game planning for Jared Kelenic. Nobody is coming up, like focusing their time on how do we get Jared Kelenic out. They're focusing on your Olsen, your Riley, your Acuna, your Marcelo Zuna hit, you know, had 100 RBIs last year. Like you're so focused on the big names that your guys at the bottom of the lineup don't have to worry about one, the pressure of carrying the team, but two, the focus of your opponents. And that's one of kind of the big strengths of Atlanta. They had Michael Harris II from straight double A all the way to the majors. And in 22 and 23, he was kind of able to just hang out at the bottom of the lineup. He batted almost 300 both years because same thing, nobody's focusing on him. He had time to adjust to the league, to get comfortable and to get better. And now they've moved him up in the order. Kelenic's going to take that spot. And it's really easy to see how that same thing could happen to the point where Braves fans are already asking, when do we extend Jared Kelenic? When does he get that long-term deal that Alex Anthopoulos is known for so well?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. man, if he, if he does super well there, it's going to be hilarious to hear the Seattle fans be like, God, another one. God damn it. But I hope he succeeds. He was fun to watch. It's not like he does it on purpose, you know, but it is exciting to watch him get that chance and go into the season. Like you said, with the being at the bottom of the lineup, it's like you're a Major League Baseball player. It's like you're going to get ABs and stuff. And giving him a chance to actually hit in that lineup, I think, might change his career. And then if he can't, you know, whatever. It doesn't work out for everybody, I guess.
Exactly. The sunk cost on Kelenic is very, very low for Atlanta financially.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing really you can lose there. And it's like, if he doesn't perform, it's like, I don't know, they'll put someone else in there. But, you know, pitching, offense, clearly, I mean, absolute powerhouses, dynamic all around. And then I think another thing here is the coaching staff and the upper management, consistent already. You got a manager that people want to play for with Snitker up there. And then, like you said, with the GM and ownership, clearly investing in guys and long-term stuff, keeping the core around. I mean, that's something that's been a staple for the Atlanta Braves through the decades, is having those core groups move along and push you guys to the playoffs over and over again. But, I mean, there's only so much to be said here, but I guess – any downsides going into the season? I mean, I think it'll be a fun race with the Phillies. I do have in my head that the Braves are pulling it out for the division. But the Phillies are definitely always a playoff squad as well. So those, you do have some stuff to look out for, but I mean, what do you think of division wise going into the season here?
Braves fans feel pretty comfortable that like, we're going to win the division. I mean, it's unless barring some sort of amazing collapse combined with Philly kind of surging like they never really have before, Braves fans feel pretty comfortable in the division. I think the questions, and this kind of shows how great things are for Atlanta fans right now. The questions all come down to what happens in October. Do you have a shot at getting past Philly? The questions are health wise. Do you have enough healthy pitchers, frontline starting pitchers, for October to match up with Philly, because they're going to have Wheeler and Nola, who never miss games, it feels like, ever. And then can you get over, if you win the division again, which again, we expect to, and you have that layoff, can you get over not playing for 5 or 6 days and find a way to perform? Because the last 2 years, you've had that off, those off days, and the last 2 years, the offense hasn't been there in that first series. And so Atlanta fans are really kind of focusing on like they, even if they only win 90 something games versus the 100 they expect to, they still feel like all of our questions are October. Even if you lose a guy or two in the rotation, a guy or two in the lineup, you feel pretty good about you're still going to win 90 plus games. You're probably going to win the division, but what happens in October? can you get over the Philly hump? Because that Philly team is just different in October. They find another gear and they turn it on. And a lot of Atlanta's players have talked about the addition of Chris Sale and the reputation that he's had. And so I think we're all kind of assuming Chris Sale is going to help bring that little bit of an edge that's going to help everybody in October as well. But we don't really know until we get there. And that's the frustrating part, is it's almost like you have to wait around for 4 months until you get there to hope it works out. And that's kind of, that's going to be hard to wait all season.
I mean, they're fun to watch. I think you guys will be all right watching them for four or five months here.
But there could be worse teams to watch. You talked about Colorado earlier. Teams to watch.
Yeah, you could be an A's fan right now. That'll be, you know, it'll be interesting. But yeah, man. I mean, Lindsay, this has been fun. What we've been doing here, it's like we kind of go through pitching, defense, you know, all that stuff, and then it's time for you to. I don't think this will be tough for you, but I want you to state your case for the 2024 Atlanta Braves.
Okay. The case for the 2024 Atlanta Braves is you took all of the good stuff from last season, Spencer Strider, the offense, you made it even better, and you fixed a lot of the flaws you had, starting pitching options, your bullpen. And so in every respect, you've improved this roster from one that was one of the best scoring offenses in baseball history last year, as well as led by the most dominant starting pitcher in baseball last year. So everything got better. Nothing really got worse. And you can't have the same collapse in a third straight year to Philly, can you?
Man, I mean, somebody clip that, Evan. I think I hope not. But I do think the Braves this year, man, I think there's a handful of teams out there that have, it's like, it's a failure if you don't make the playoffs. I think the Braves are almost at this point where it's like, it's almost a failure if you don't win the World Series. And that's crazy aspirations, but that's how good they are. And like you said, they've only gotten better since last year. So, I mean, high expectations. I'm excited to watch. They're a team that have been fun to watch and only getting better, like we said. But yeah, this was a fun one. And any last words, make sure to plug your stuff again, where people can find you online, because you're going to be talking Braves all season. So I'm sure people can keep up with you on there.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball, and all of the baseball writing, BravesToday.com, the podcast, the Braves Today podcast. You can find it on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Final thought is World Series or bust. They've said that. We're saying that. World Series or bust.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, everyone's talking Dodgers right now specifically and in the offseason, but going into it, it's like, in my head, the Braves are like still the favorite, kind of, you know, when you look at realism, like they're all major leaguers. The Braves are absolutely stacked. It just might not be the same superstars, the same types of superstars that are playing in that market. But I mean, I think the Braves are so dangerous in every single aspect. So, I mean, I think you guys are probably the favorites to win it in my book. But yeah, man, I'm excited to watch. And we're trying to do this halfway through the season, kind of check in. So we're excited to have you back, but, Lindsay, thanks for joining us today, man. This was a good one, and, excited to get the season rolling this week.
Thanks for having me, Reese.